Support for 30 Days of West Virginia Music is provided by Kinship Goods, proud supporter of DIY music and the arts. Locally shipped worldwide at kinshipgoods.com.
Almost all the CDs in my car right now are local musicians that I've been to their shows and met. So people ask me what I'm listening to. I'm like, well, I don't think that you know any of them, but they're all fantastic. So that's been a huge influence for me, just that the passion that has to come with pursuing this type of career.
I'm Joni Deutsch, and this is 30 Days of West Virginia Music, a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting and A Change of Tune. Throughout the month of June, we are celebrating some of the folks who are making the West Virginia music scene wild and wonderful. 30 days, 30 brand new West Virginia music interviews. And today, a Parkersburg, West Virginian who has found growth and community in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is Caitlin Reed. So can you introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
My name is Caitlin Reed, and I am a singer-songwriter. I have just recently put out a new EP called We've Come This Far.
And where did you start out playing music?
I started doing music in Parkersburg, West Virginia. I started playing at a little coffee shop there called The Daily Grind, and would just play kind of through lunch during her busy hour and just kind of be background music. And it was the first that I ever, you know, was sitting in front of a microphone singing and playing guitar with the potential of people hearing for entertainment.
Were you surrounded by music growing up? I assume you grew up in Parkersburg, right?
I actually grew up in two places. First in Bridgeport, West Virginia. I lived there through my elementary school years and then moved to Parkersburg for junior high and high school. Music has always been something that my parents enjoyed. I grew up listening to all of the great 70s tunes and like the Eagles and America and Bill Withers. Like, that was a great time in music. So that was my parents' favorite era, and so we listened to a lot of that. And my dad played saxophone, but the only song I can ever remember him playing was Pink Panther theme song. So I don't know if you can count that as musical inspiration or not, but and then both of my parents sing. They were never anything professional, but they are good singers. And my dad didn't let me take voice lessons until the last semester of my senior year of high school because he said it was just something you didn't need lessons for. You either sang or you didn't sing.
But you could, though. You obviously can now, and I'm sure you could back then.
I loved performing. I always loved performing. We have this video of my, like, geez, I think it was like third or fourth grade talent show, and I wanted to sing, and I am holding this microphone and have the cord in my hand and was like walking across the stage, and I just felt like a superstar, and just something that I've always enjoyed doing, but didn't ever think of it as like a realistic career path or even just like a realistic hobby. It just seemed so far and unreachable.
What else would you have done were it not for music?
I went to college as an art major. I started out in the interior design department, but I was taking interior design 101 and art 101. And interior design was all using rulers and fine tip markers and numbers and how many outlets have to be in a room and how far apart they should be. And then art 101, my teacher was saying, just get messy and let it be free and, you know, make a mess and that's when the art happens. And I was like, I think I like just art better. So I decided to pursue a degree in art to be able to do sculpting and watercolor and oils and charcoal and all of that. And then I would have pursued becoming licensed as a teacher, and I wanted to be a high school art teacher.
Oh, that would have, I mean, you have like 100 years ahead of you. You could still do that, but that was really cute.
It's funny how just the way that you plan your life to go, and it doesn't always turn out that way, but it's still, I don't know, at least mine has turned out better than if I had planned it myself. So,
yeah, you mentioned playing a bit in the Daily Grind back home. Did you play in other venues around West Virginia while you were still in state?
We did a couple. Yeah, I think I played in one coffee shop in like St. Mary's or New Martinsville or something. I can't remember the name of it. Or Sardis. I don't know. It's a really, really tiny town, and there was this adorable little mom-and-pop shop. and we played a show there. But I honestly didn't. It was the very beginning of even thinking about doing music as a type of career, and I was more interested in just putting videos on YouTube than trying to do actual shows at venues, just because I was really unsure of myself as a performer. I felt the most uncomfortable in those situations.
Well, that's also a safe zone. If you put it up on YouTube, you don't have to perform in front of people and see them not regarding you or not clapping for you, as opposed to a coffee shop where it's like they could be totally distracted with their cappuccino. You never know.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then your YouTube performance lasts for however many views it wants to get. You don't have to keep doing it over and over.
So when was the point that you were inspired or you made the change to move to North Carolina from West Virginia?
We moved in 2013. It was kind of a two-part move for us. My dad was going into transition with his business and was looking to start a new company. And we were wanting to move to Raleigh, North Carolina with some friends. We were actually wanting to be a part of a church plant down here. So it was kind of, we talked my dad into coming down, and now my husband and my dad work together with their business, and we're here with our friends, and we helped start the church.
So you really, while you may have laid the groundwork in West Virginia with the music, Raleigh in North Carolina really was the place where you became, quote-unquote, official musician.
Absolutely, and it was, the move wasn't planned for my music, but it was a big benefit for me as far as moving to a bigger town where I felt like there might be more opportunity to find some places to start branching out a little bit and trying to dip my feet a little bit in the music area.
What's it been like playing music around North Carolina? I mean, I know that there are certain communities down there, especially like Asheville, Chapel Hill, that are just, you know, robust with the eclectic music they have. But what about Raleigh and also Cary, right? That's also where you had a little bit of a foothold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Raleigh's really interesting because on almost any given night, you can find live music somewhere in the area. I can't remember what the statistic is, but it's something that Raleigh has the most music out of anywhere happening in North Carolina at any given point in time, which is amazing just that like people enjoy that so much and that it is such a big part of the culture here. But it can also be a little bit of a difficult thing because no matter when you plan your show, there's five other big shows happening around the area, so you're always, like, competing for pool a little bit. But it's also a really great community of musicians and artists. Even though there's so many artists, it's really a small world. Like, the more connections that I've made, the more I realize, oh, well, you know that person, too, and we're connected here. And so everyone is so supportive of each other. It's, for me, it's been a great experience. I really, really have enjoyed getting to grow here musically.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, you were kind of moving towards a release, and then it's now finally come out this past spring, which is a 7-song EP titled We've Come This Far. Can you talk about all the things that came up to that point when you finally were able to say, this is it, this is my little music baby?
Yeah, it was like the world's longest pregnancy. We started recording it in January of 2016. And I didn't plan on doing any type of crowdfunding. It was just going to be self-funded and like low budget, you know, as possible. Since I am an art person and not a math person, I realized about halfway through the process that I had gotten the numbers all wrong and I was definitely going to need help from my community. So I started raising funds for it and got sick somewhere in the process and it started making the timeline get a lot longer. And then we had issues with getting the mixes back and all in all, like, my timeline was just decimated for that year, and I didn't have the album in hand until just right before Thanksgiving. And you can't release an album at Thanksgiving or Christmas unless it's a Christmas album.
Right.
So I was like, well, now we have to wait. And once you live in North Carolina, you realize that if there's a threat of snow, no one leaves their house.
Oh, so they don't know how to drive in the snow. It's insane.
And really, honestly, you don't want to go out because then you're out there with all the drivers that don't know how to drive and someone ends up hitting you, and it's just, it's not worth it. So the whole, like, winter months, I was like, man, I have to, like, I can't release it yet because nobody will come out, like, to any type of release party. They'll just be afraid. So it was something that I just kept putting off. It's kind of like the longer that I had to wait to release it, the more nervous I got about it, I think. Second guessing and self-doubt, you know, all of that just starts to creep in as you keep waiting and waiting. And but I just decided to just set a date and run towards it, and that worked out really, really well. And we decided to release it May 12th, and I got this amazing band to come together, a lot of artists that recorded with me for the album. We had a really, really successful release party, and people were really excited about it, and it just totally exceeded my expectations. I was so happy at how well it's been received so far.
Yeah, and just everything leading up to this moment, this past spring, when you actually were able to say, this is it, this is here, it's here finally. I mean, music lovers might not even realize, like, those little things, like the release date coinciding with things that aren't related to major holidays or tour schedules, all of that. It's not just making a song or making a release and just immediately putting it out. I mean, you could do that, but PR-wise and marketing-wise, it might not get you any money or people in seats.
No, exactly. It's crazy. And just thinking about, yeah, summer breaks and holidays and the release party was actually on the night that Bastille and Chris Stapleton were in the area having concerts. So I was like, awesome. But people came, so that's good. They had the choice between the three of us, and I'm honored that some of them chose me.
I mean, to be fair, your release, and it's great, but it is different from something you'd hear, you know, Grammy Award winning Chris Stapleton perform, or, you know, top 40s playing Bastille perform. So I can understand why people would come out, because it is good. It is good a different way.
Oh, thanks. It's been just, it feels like a total community effort. And a lot of the people that supported the album and made it happen were there. And it was just, I mean, truly just a celebration. It was just so happy to have the community that surrounds you be there to support and celebrate with you, you know, something that feels like it's been such a long time coming.
Yeah, and I do want to mention, so I saw that back in February you posted something on your musician Facebook page, and I hope you don't mind if I quote a little bit from it, but you basically said, paralyzing. A dear friend of mine used this word to describe her fears surrounding a positive change she's making to her business. It was like a light bulb went off in my head. Paralyzed is exactly how I felt with my music over the past year. And then you go on and you kind of describe what you just mentioned, which is all the times that, you know, you're hitting these little bumps in the road with this recording process and seeing how other people's successes were just, you know, going on the up and up, and you were just kind of stalled for a bit. And I think that's that's a good perspective to actually share with people. It's not just all beautiful Instagram photos or tour pics or, you know, great album releases. Like, there is some struggle in making a record, especially when it's by yourself.
Yeah. Well, and I think as an artist, you know, you're your own product. And so, like, if I were making, I don't know, like handbags or something, you know, if people don't like the handbags, they don't like the handbags. They don't like the shape of it or the material, or too expensive. But when you are your product, it's so easy to take people's rejection so personally. You feel like you are not enough, or you're not good enough. And because we live in such a social media driven world, of course everyone puts their best stuff out there. Like, that's what I want to put out there, is my best stuff. And so when all you see is everyone's best and all you feel is your worst, it can be so defeating and just crippling to be stuck in this place of, why am I not there yet? They started a year after me and they're already here. And, you know, why can't I do that? And for me, it was coming to that place of realizing that it's not a race and it's not a comparison. It's just me using the gift that I have. And when I can just let that flow out of me naturally, and however it comes out and however it's expressed, to be at peace with that, then it gives me the freedom and others the freedom to be able to use their art in the way that they were created to use it, not just trying to fit into a form or follow a mold or the 3-step program to get to where they need to be.
And I assume that the title of the EP, We've Come This Far, ties back into what you're just saying, right? Of going this far to continue, even if you may feel like, oh, there's still more left to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like, if I were to have guessed, you know, 5 years ago that I could be at the place where I am right now, I wouldn't have seen a path to it. And I don't think that a lot of it has happened because of necessarily the effort that I've put into it. I think that it's been a lot of the people around me. So I'm just so thankful for that support and that encouragement that I receive, because if it were left to me, in a lot of ways, I would just recluse and retreat, and I would rather not risk, and I would rather not put myself in a position to be rejected. So it's really, truly because of the community around me that that I'm able to like take these steps and do these things, because it's just not my nature.
Everybody's talking about themselves. Like, here I am, this is what I'll do. Well, it's all fine and good, but words don't talk like working wood. If you don't mind, wait until I see it. 'Cause I want something I can hold.
Looking back on your work, what's been the highlight of your musical journey thus far, besides perhaps finally releasing this EP?
I think the highlight has been writing songs that I am starting to feel like really reflect me. I've written songs since I started playing guitar, but I just now feel like I'm getting to a place where the music that I'm putting out and that I'm starting to create is actually who I am. Like, it's actually an appropriate voice, you know, for what I feel and who I feel that I am. That's such a rewarding feeling, to be in a place where you're like, ah, that kind of does sound like me, or that is what I wanted it to sound like, and to feel the satisfaction of creating something that feels authentic to who you are.
Now, some people listening to the interview might think, oh, well, she hasn't been in West Virginia for like over a decade. You know, what is it? How does this relate to the West Virginia music scene? Would you still consider yourself, I guess, a West Virginia musician, even though you're across state lines over in the Tar Heel State?
I do. When anytime people ask me where I'm from, I always say West Virginia. It's a special place to me, the small town, you know, feel, where you run into people at the grocery store. When you're out to eat, you're always seeing your friends. And that was a foundation of friendship and support and community that I still carry with me here. And in fact, a lot of the people that supported this album are from West Virginia. So that the state still has, you know, this huge hold in my music and in my heart. It's just definitely a part of who I am. Yeah.
So new release out. What is in your future? What's coming up in the next year or so that you're really excited about?
Well, I'm taking it one step at a time, and I would really like to get more into licensing and maybe try and get a song or two on like a soundtrack or a TV show or even like a commercial. I think that's a great way to reach new audiences that you don't have the opportunity without, you know, like a full-blown tour or, you know, joining as like a support act for a bigger artist. So that's my goal, to get on with a licensing company and hopefully reach some new ears that way.
As an artist that had to pretty much, I guess, do the EP by herself, what's some advice that you'd give to another musician as like a DIY outfit? You know, making sure you're doing the funding, the artwork, of course, the singing, songwriting, pretty much by your lonesome.
I think the first key is knowing what you want your finished product to sound like. I just play guitar, and I don't play it nearly as well as a lot of people do. So what I can create is really limited comparatively. So I went into the album knowing the types of sounds I did want and the types of sounds that I didn't want, which gave me more control over the whole process. And then I also just think you should try to do as much as you can yourself. I made, you know, my own artwork, and I played and sang several parts, just trying to keep costs down. And again, it just puts more of yourself into the music, rather than all of a sudden it becomes, you know, the producer's album, or it becomes the guitarist's album, so that you are still the one speaking and still the strongest voice coming through the album.
And with the Kickstarter campaign, do you have any advice on how to push through and make sure that you're getting the right amount of support to make music come alive?
I think having a realistic goal, knowing what you can put in yourself, and putting in as much as you can yourself, and then having a realistic goal for your funding. I don't think that it should ever be longer than 2 weeks, because people just start to tune out. We have such short attention spans. So I don't think it should be longer than 2 weeks. And then just, you can't feel bad for asking people to support your music, because if they love your music, they want to support it. And if they don't, they'll just stop paying attention. So that's fine too. You didn't really lose anything. But it's scary. It's so scary. And I hate asking for help in life. And so let alone to be like, hi, can I have the dollars that you worked hard to earn to go towards my album? That was difficult for me, but just having to let that go and realizing that you're not forcing anyone to give you money. They want to support you if they're going to support you.
So I guess we're getting towards the end of the interview. What's one thing that you hope happens that will make your music career even more satisfying for what you're doing?
I would like to, well, I'm looking forward to when I can release a full-length album of songs that I love and I'm passionate about. And I guess what the most satisfying thing about music for me is when people come to me and say, that song, like, that spoke to me so much, or I was going through this and I listened to that song and it, you know, it got me through it, or that just expresses perfectly how I feel about, you know, this and that. And it's, to me, like, that's the point. Like, that's the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing, because I feel like I have been given this gift to be able to express myself through music and through lyrics. And I know, like, I mean, so many poems and authors and musicians that I have connected to and have walked me through seasons of my life that were difficult, and I want to be that for someone else. So to have a full-length album and to just truly connect with people and have that life that happens because of the music, that's the only reason I'm doing it. That's what I love about music.
Caitlin Reed's latest release is We've Come This Far, available on iTunes and wherever music is streamed and sold. 30 Days of West Virginia Music is production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting and A Change of Tune. This episode is written, edited, and produced by moi, Joni Deutsch. Our associate producer is Nathan Thomas. Our digital promotions come from Josh Saul. Our theme was composed by Matt Jackford and performed by Montana Skies and John Query. You can hear more West Virginia music on A Change of Tune, airing Saturday nights at 10 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Follow us on social media. We are at A Change of Tune. And for more West Virginia music chats, make sure to go to wvpublic.org/wvmusic and subscribe to our podcast feed. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.